Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. The date today is the 15th of Dhul Hijjah 1446, and today we welcome Mufti Farhan Karani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Marana?
Alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Sabti?
Alhamdulillah, shukr.
Alhamdulillah. How was the Eid? What of that went well? Slaughtering.
Alhamdulillah. Eid is always the Eid al-Adha is like a rush, you know? Finish your Eid Salah and then you're going to the farm to go and slaughter and then started to go over there, some people after that, you know, it's always a rush.
That's why I told one unmarried person, I said that, you know what, enjoy the peace now, because after you get married, it's in-laws, it's this, you're running this way, that way, and eventually you just have to say, you know what, I have to now see where, what can I do, because sometimes you're trying to do too many things at once and the actual purpose of Eid then is gone. And there is
sometimes you spend so many hours on the road on Eid day. You know, going to this one and that one, and nowadays what they do is one Eid you spend by your family and the other Eid by the in-laws. You know, they, like, you know, my wife says, you know, my family also misses me, you know, so I have to also go there, okay, each other now. So one eat that side, one eat that side.
Yeah, I think it's more practical, especially on for Eid al-Adha, because you have to slaughter and there's extra. It just makes you think of the Hujjaj. That's a busy day for them as well, on the day or the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah for them.
And on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah also was a Friday.
Gee, for them. For us it was day of Arafah, and for them, you're right.
So they had lots of things to do. They had Rami, they had Juma Salah, they had Nahar and Halaq and Tawaf and everything. Normally the Saudis, they try to avoid Eid on a Friday because of all this. So, you know, they always change the dates and to suit them.
Chief Mufti Sahab, your topic today, what does Mufti Sahab want to share with the Ummah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, the topic of Nikah, a very, very important topic. I was reading an article that in the worldwide, in 2020, they took a survey up to 2020, there were 25% Muslims in the world. Now, when they say Muslim, they count the Shias also in as Muslims. So 25% Muslims in the world. And the number of Christians has been decreasing. So it's about 28% now of Christians. So they're saying that the Western world, Europe and Americas, their population is declining because they're adopting like the China policy, one child policy, and they don't want to have children. And, you know, they find it a financial burden and, so they're not having so many children. So that's going to affect their workforce, it's going to affect their economies. And they're saying the Muslim world is just having more children. Wherever you look in the world, Muslim countries, Muslims have lots of children. So they're saying that this year we need to change. Now, what they're also saying is that marriage is no more important in people's lives. That they don't want to get married, they just want to enjoy their life, making dinner and having affairs and things, but they don't want children, they don't want the responsibility of children. So, but now what does Islam say? You know? So Nabi Islam says that you must get married so that I can, and you must have lots of children so that on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi Islam can boast about his ummah that he had so many followers. And so that is our objective when you get married, is to have children. But nowadays, our Muslims also, they say, no, it's too early. The wife's mother will tell the daughter, you know, don't have children now. First, get settled in a marriage. And then you must go on contraceptives and do all these things, the stepless and all the things. It damages your system. And then when you are now, you say you're ready to have children, then the body doesn't want to accept. So now you're going to go for these treatments, IVF treatments, and all these kind of treatments. And so when Allah says have children, you say, no, I don't want to have children. Now when you say you want children, Allah says, no, I'm not going to give you children. You didn't want in the first place. Now I'm not going to give you children. Now you're going to spend lots and lots of money, hundreds of thousands of rands on treatments to in order to get children. So it's simple. Get married, have children, and increase the ummah, brings barakah in your life, bring barakah in your family. Imagine, nowadays, it's so common, you know, every family has like one child or two children. And in those days, you take my family, like my mother's side, they had 14 children. children. It's even little, but some people, they say, there's 18 children in their family. So, and they, you know, they didn't have a big paid salary. Like the Nana didn't have, like, you know, he wasn't like a accountant or a lawyer or something. Yeah, so he had a small little shop, and from there he used to sell some groceries and a little bit of hardware, and then a small little 5x5 shop. And that's how they supported the whole family. And Allah Ta'ala put barakat in there. Nowadays we understand, no, I must have a huge bank balance. You know, the child is coming, hospital bill, and then I need to buy this car seat and that kind of cost and that kind of pram. And it, when you tally everything up, it's about 250,000 rand just before the baby comes. Allah, I can't afford this year. No. Let's just wait. Let's just see. You know, I'm going to get my 13th paycheck and then we'll see from there. And, no, we don't put our trust in Allah Ta'ala. People before, they used to put their trust in Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants to give children, alhamdulillah, and the family will get bigger and they'll be better, because every child comes with his own risk. So you mustn't understand, no, I need to be financially stable to have children. No, Allah Ta'ala will send you, see, after you have the child, you don't know where that barakah comes from, you know. Allah Ta'ala just opens doors for you from all sides. Because Allah Ta'ala is taking care of this child. You think now, even that I can't afford this child. No, so Allah Ta'ala will send the risk for the child. Yeah, so you see the Jews, that is their objective, that Muslims mustn't increase. The ummah mustn't increase. And they have lots and lots of children. And they tell the whole world, you must have only one child. You know, you mustn't have lots of children. They create all the media frenzy. The people must get scared of having more children. But they themselves, they have lots of children. So we must just follow the sunnah of Nabi Sassan, that get married. And the purpose of marriage is to have children. If you don't have children, then why are you getting married? Then you can't enjoy your life without a child. A child brings so much of joy in your life. And the child is growing up, the smile, the laughter. And they give you headaches also, but then you laugh also more than the headaches. So, you know, that's what life is all about. Not spending time alone, just touring the world. And nowadays, the thing is about touring the world. You know, I can't go on holidays and I can't enjoy myself. You know, with a child now, if you leave the child by Dada or Nana, you know, they don't want to look after the child because they got a sister's child there, a brother's child there. And so what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, nikah from sunnati. Nikah is from my sunnah. And now people don't want to make nikah. We're just loving you're just loving like that. And then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. And whoever turns away from my sunnah, it's not from amongst me. It's not amongst my followers. Because my sunnah, the reason says it is to get married, to make nikah. Then another hadith, the Prophet says, "Tazawwajul wajudal walud," and make nikah to such women who are extremely fond of their husbands. Now, how will you know this now? It's easy to find out whether the wife will be fond of you or not. If she is more on TikTok and Facebook and it, and she's looking for attention from the world and putting her pictures everywhere, and you found her on Facebook, then don't expect her to love you, because she's looking for love elsewhere on social media. People must follow her and they must comment on her pictures that she posts of herself. And so she's not your wife. She's the whole world's wife. And so marry somebody who's extremely fond of their husband. And walud, and one who can bear many children also. And how would you know a woman can bear many children? Look at her mother. If her mother has lots of children, her grandmother has lots of children, then you know that she can also bear children. And God says, "For inni mukarrasiru bikumul umma," for verily I will be proud over the other ummas on the day of Qiyamah, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And due to your large number, in that hadith appears in Abu Dawud Sharif. Then another hadith also, that يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ مَنِ اتَّطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَةَ وَلِيَتَزَوَّجِ. The Nabi said, "Oh youth," addressing all the youth, till the day of Qiyamah, those amongst you who have the capability of getting married, yes? Now what does it mean, capability of getting married? Fulfilling the rights of the wife. Now what are the rights of the wife? So the rights of the wife is that you have to provide for her food, provide shelter for her, provide clothing for her. So if you can provide that, then you are ready to get married. Then what you must do? Well, it is over. Then you must get married. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. Because this year, getting married, it will be a means of keeping your gazes lowered, and it will help you to control your eyes from roaming around looking at women that you're not allowed to look at. وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرَجِ. And it is more pure for your, it's a protection for your private parts against evil, against zina. Because you're married, you know you have a wife to fulfill your desires with. You're not going to go and fulfill it in other venues of haram. And woman lam yastati'. And the reason is, now if you can't get married, if you don't have the means to get married, you can't provide shelter and food and clothing for your wife, then what you must do? If woman lam yastati', fa alayhi bisawm, then you must fast. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Because that fasting is something that lowers your passion. You know, when you're fasting, you don't feel like doing anything. You don't have any urge or desire or anything, because it controls, it curbs your desires. So this is what Nabi Sassam told us, that you must get married. If you can't get married, then you must fast. Then you must fast, because fasting will then curb your desires. But nowadays, you know, all these slogans, they tell you otherwise. They tell you just enjoy your life and love your life to the fullest. And the kuffar's slogans ringing in our ears and on billboards everywhere. And so we must now look at the sunnah of Nabi Sallam, what the Sharia tells us. And it's important to get married. Now, you know, nowadays, in many instances, the boys and girls, they're messing around. You know, we have a boyfriend, girlfriend. And then, in time to get married, nobody wants to marry them, because they know all the nonsense they were doing. And they know that this girl here, we don't want to get married to her. But the boy also was messing around, and he's looking for a fat girl, you know, a girl who doesn't have any bad history or background with other boys in it. Now you're looking for such a girl who is pure and chaste. And then she's also looking for a boy who is, you know, dindar and everything. But look at both sides, their background was from sin. And they were hanging out at places and speaking to each other and even taking each other. And now you want to get married. And when a person wants to get married, boy wants to get married, then he's there in the masjid before the muazzin also. And to show the whole world that he's very pious. And some uncle will see, you know, there's a 4-year boy, Bobo Haruche, you know, must get your daughter married to him. And the girl also, now all of a sudden she's getting married, she's wearing scarf, and now even going to parda also, and, you know, going to hijab and everything. But before that day, she was taking every boy in the whole town. And so don't deceive people. And you get married, and then you disappoint your partner. They find out that you're not a virgin. It happens these days. Girl gets married, and the husband finds out she's not a virgin. And the marriage breaks. Obviously, we give her a divorce, because now he never expected this from his wife. And then she's from a dindar home, 5 years home. Father is dariwala, kurtawala, masjid, and everything. And he thinks his daughter was a saint of the world, and she was a Rabia Basriya, but now you find out, no, she wasn't. She was Shaitan's daughter. And so we mustn't be deceived by our children, you know. No, we're sending a university, but she wears scarf when she goes. And do you know that so many girls, they go university, And as soon as they get there, they take their stuff off. And the father thinks, no, my daughter is going to university. She's going with her own car, and she's got, she's playing with the love club only girls, and, old auntie going to drop her off. And you think, oh, my child is so protected. But your child is against Islam. She doesn't love Islam. She doesn't like Islam. She can't wait to get out of the scarf and out of the abaya. She doesn't want to be seen as a Muslim on campus. And we think, no, our child, our daughter is so pious, so mashallah and everything. And so we mustn't be deceived. So to get married is a sunnah of Nabi Hassan. And besides getting rewarded for practicing upon the sunnah, there's so many benefits. And the benefits of making nikah and protecting yourself from zina and a person. See, you're not married. You don't get married. And now when you go to visit people, you're going to go alone. You're going to go alone. You want nobody to show, this is my wife, this is my children. And you're going to go alone. People won't even invite you because they say, this bicharo, he comes alone there. They don't even feel like inviting you. So that's why it's so important to have a family. And so many niyas you can make also for getting married, increasing the ummah, taking care of somebody else's daughter. You're going to grow up children. So it's such a great reward. You have pious children. Those pious children will make dua for you. Now you don't have children. Now after you die, what's going to happen? Nobody's going to think about you. Nobody's going to send sadaqah jariyah for you. Nobody's going to send any kind of sawab for you because they don't know you. Your nephews and nieces are not going to remember you. It's your children they can remember you. And your children's children, they say, Dada, you must read for Dada every day, Yasin Sharif. And at least you got children, grandchildren to carry on your family name. And those things are very important. So pious children, in the hadith, so much mention is made about pious children. Then now marriage itself, there's different categories of nikah also. So sometimes it is faraz to get married. Sometimes it's wajib to get married. Sometimes it's sunnah muakkada. Sometimes it's mustahab to get married. And you'll be surprised. Sometimes it's even haram for you to get married. And it's haram for you to get married also. So inshallah, we'll just touch on a few. And why is it now? When does it become faraz and wajib to get married? And number one, if a person's desires and passions overpower you, and you can't control yourself. You have that urge to commit zina. Now that's why you must get married. That's why you must get married. Because that child who reaches puberty and his father doesn't get him married, and then that child commits zina, and the sin is on the father. Sin is on the father because that child could have gotten married and he could have been saved from zina, but now you want him, no, it's the father your studies. The daughter, no, she was further her studies now. She must do something, in case, if she comes back home. Now, why are you thinking about that? If she comes back, you want her to come back home. That's why you're talking like that. If she comes back home, at least she got something to do. She can still earn for herself and, she can be self-sufficient. And so you actually want your daughter to get divorced and set at home. That is your intention from the beginning. Sending her to university is that she can stand on her own two feet. You're supposed to inculcate in her that she must be subservient to her husband. She must be an obedient wife. She must be a loving, caring wife. She must cook for her husband. Nowadays, the girls, they go to madrasa, they become alimas, and they say, no, you don't have to cook now. So many cases, alima says, no, I don't have to cook. Why must I cook? The Sharia doesn't say I must cook. It's not my responsibility to cook for you. You have to provide for me. I don't have to cook. You want food, you must go get for your mother's house. Or you must go buy food or something, but you must give me my food. And so they don't understand the responsibilities. They think, you have to count your points. At the end of the day, you must have a score sheet I won so many points and you won so many points, I lost so many points. No, marriage is not about scoring points. Marriage is about responsibilities. And also what is not our responsibility, also we have to do more than our responsibilities. So if we can't control our desires and we fear falling to zina, then it is wajib and faraz for you to get married. If you're certain that you're going to commit zina, then you have to get married. Sometimes you get emergency nikah. Somebody calls you and say, are you available? No, I do. I mean, can you do my nikah? She like went like next week. Said, no, tonight. You need to do my nikah tonight. And bhai, what's the urgency? You need to get married like tonight. Say, no, this girl, you know, I met this girl and you know, just want to get married. He's scared that he's going to lose this girl here to somebody else. So, you know, you need to get married like urgently. So, alhamdulillah, you do the nikah and save the person from zina. And you also get reward for saving him from zina. But now, it mustn't be undercover. You know, you come to my house here after 9 o'clock and then you do it here in the lounge here. No, it be done in the masjid. You must do the nikah in the masjid. It's sinless to do the nikah in the masjid. Mustn't be undercover. And everybody must know you got married. And tomorrow they see you walking somewhere and then they say, hey, see it. He's walking with you. Who is that girl there? Yeah, you see now what he's up to now. All this nonsense. You see this Manana here. Manana made another nikah. Nobody knows about it. Now he's walking in another town with her. People see now he's having an affair. And so make it public. Everybody must know that you got married. Also nowadays, there's this, you know, trend of this misyar. And, you know, it comes from the UAE. It's actually another form of this muta. She has a muta. And the same is, yeah, you get married for 1 year or 2 months or something. And all that is all zina. It is muta, part of muta. The Shias, they dubbed it another name, Misyar, and some other names they got also. And then, so all this, all these kind of things are haram. If you are in a position of giving mahar to your wife and maintaining your wife, then it is wajib and faraz to get married. And then you have to make nikah. Now, mahar. Mahar must be mutually agreed upon between the bride and the groom. They must come to a settlement. It mustn't be dictated by the girl's father that, no, I want my daughter, she must get a krugaren. And bicharo, he can't afford a krugaren. And so now, he won't get married now because everybody is demanding krugaren. So, the Sharia has made it easy. Don't make the mahar excessive. Like you see in Saudi Arabia, so many women unmarried and men also unmarried. Why? Because the mahar is so, demands are so excessive. And the woman wants 250,000 riyals upfront, and then she wants a house of her own, and then she wants it fully furnished, and she wants this GMC and that and everything. By the time we even get started, before even get married, he has to take out like $1 million there just to go see her in it. So all these things here prevent the nikah from taking place. So we must make it easy. Is he happy with 5,000 and mahar? No problem. 5,000 mahar is fine. And minimum mahar is the 10 dirhams. And so if you can afford that day, And nothing more than that, and she's happy with it, no problem. You go ahead, make the nikah. And why must you spend so much of mahar, and then sometimes the husband promises so much mahar, and then he can't even fulfill that mahar. And he can't pay the debt of his. It's a debt. And if you don't pay it, then you'll be liable even after your death, then be taken out of your inheritance. So, we mustn't promise so large mahar amount that we can't even fulfill. If there is a fear of ill treatment and oppression of one's wife, and then also, if there's no fear of ill treatment on your wife, that means you have a cool temperament and you know you're not a violent person, angry person, and then you must get married. It's farad and wajib to get married. When is it sunnah mu'akkadah to get married? And also the same reason you have no real fear of committing zina, like sunnah mu'akkadah, and you control your desires, you just want to make amal and sunnah, so you get married for that reason, and you can afford the mahar and you can treat your wife properly, then you must get married in sunnah mu'akkadah. Mustahab to get married. So all of the above, you can fulfill all of these things. Men also, then it is mustahab for you to get married, preferable for you to get married. Now, when is it haram? When is it haram for you to get married? If a person, he is a very violent person, very, he doesn't have compassion in him, he doesn't have mercy in him, he can't look after his own sisters and mother, and now he wants to get married, and he's a very abusive person, he's a gangster, and, you know, beats up people, and now he wants to get married. Now what will he do to his poor wife? So then it is haram for him, for such a person, to get married. So these are the basic guidelines to getting married and the importance of making nikah. And so we mustn't overlook the importance of making nikah, but also we must understand the responsibilities that come with nikah, and it's a very great responsibility. You're looking after somebody else. You have to. It's not only you now. You go out whatever time you want, come back home whenever you want. If now you are living with somebody else, you have a wife, and you can't be laid out with your friends. You know, I'm going with my friends. Nowadays the trend also, you know, the wife also says, no, I'm going out with my friends. You know, so all the girls, they go out together and they have a party everywhere. And then obviously what can happen then, the wife is going to lose interest in the husband, then the husband is going out, he's going to lose interest in his wife, and then the marriage breaks down, and it's arguments and fights, and divorce ends up in the end. So if we stick to the Sharia, we stick to the guidance of Sharia, then there'll be happiness, there'll be prosperity in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes. Yeah? So inshallah, we'll carry on mentioning the other related matters to nikah, for example, the prerequisites of nikah and other the conditions of nikah, etc. Inshallah, in the coming weeks.
Inshallah. Also, Mufti Sahib, we should put on there as well, getting a second wife.
We'll come to that, inshallah.
That's something the men love to speak about.
For mana, we can pray, no more, mana.
Well, Allah says, Wayne, you can see already, I can't even answer. So we'll just leave it there.
Oh, man, I'm talking about me, you know, I can't take responsibility what happens at home now, you know, when you go home now.
True. All we can say is, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. So I fear. So if you fear that, for the listener, if you fear that you won't do justice, then one is sufficient. So alhamdulillah. We make shukr. Make dua for us, Mufti Sahib. We'll meet you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.